from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Ours is a new love, but it burns very brightly, and it gets hot and sweaty and stanky. There's some stank on that love.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You think you're going to find somebody that's going to be like psyched to go to Applebee's with you every Friday night and hear the same football stories about how you rocked in high school?
I did rock in high school football. You want to check tape?
And Brendan Sprague.
You know about the cup sizes and all?
Yeah, different cups.
Yeah, I know about the cup.
You got the A, the B. The C, the D, that's the biggest.
I know the D is the biggest. I based my whole life on knowing that the D is the biggest.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube.com. Good morning, YouTube. A lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We just talked about the Team USA stuff. If you miss any of the first hour, our favorite things from the weekend, you can catch the podcast at 1080thefan.com. Basketball coverage on The Fan, of course, is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use your savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Was Billie Eilish really wearing a Portland Diamond Project hat?
What?
I saw somebody picture that, I guess Billie Eilish was, they did like a handoff of the Olympics last night, closing ceremony. That happens usually. Somebody said she performed and was wearing a Portland Diamond Project hat. I didn't know if there was like a...
Let me see if I can find this.
A different P out there? Is there like... I was confused by that because I was not watching the closing ceremonies. But I know they always do.
It does look like a Portland Diamond P. But I don't...
Can we confirm or deny it's the actual... That's the P?
Or do we have our own P? Is that like only the Portland Diamond Project gets that P?
Have they TM'd that P?
I don't know if they've TM'd the P.
Okay.
It's very reminiscent of the P.
Is someone stealing our P?
It's a pinstripe, too.
Is she a part of our group? Are we getting Major League Baseball?
This is not good for the radio, but there's the photo.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
If Billie Eilish brought Major League Baseball to Portland.
Investing group.
Not a bad guy.
Well,
how did your old ass come up with that perfect dad joke?
You like that one?
I didn't even know if you
give
knew
me my Air Monarchs any... right now. Give me my Monarchs.
I didn't know if you knew any song by Billie Eilish, and
I
then
know
you
that
said
one.
That. That's hilarious.
That's a catchy tune. I like that song.
She's coming to Portland soon.
Look at that.
What if she came out and Mike Barrett was like, and she's on our investing group.
Just a diehard baseball fan. Who would have thunk it? Billie Eilish getting things done.
I'll have to look into this. I don't want to say that that's the Portland Diamond Project, but it does look like the Portland Diamond Project.
Pretty big audience. I bet there was like 30, 50 million people watching that thing last night. The closing ceremonies are a big deal.
If she just like ended it, and bring baseball to Portland! I don't know why I made her British there, but you know what I mean. It'd be funny if she said that.
Catching the vibe, man. She's British now. We'll take it.
You can reach the show at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. Ryan Callahan of Vols 24-7 at the bottom of the hour doing our preseason top 25 Dirty Poll. And Dirt has the Volunteers at number 20. That will roll on at 7:30. We'll get into Oregon and Oregon State,
fall camp scrimmage.
Oh, we had scrimmages this weekend.
Oh, yeah. 7 minutes. You know what 7 minutes is? 7 minutes total. That was the post-scrimmage press conferences combined of Dan Lanning and Trent Bray.
Not in a very talkative mood after those scrimmages.
I watched them both, and I got to tell you something I didn't think I'd ever say. Brent, a little nicer and better with the media than your boy Dan. Dan wanted nothing to do with that post-scrimmage scrum.
He gets spicy after post-scrimmages. He wants to go watch the film. I got work to do. Get your questions in. Get me the hell out of here. I'm moving on.
If I was the Oregonian, I would hire Joe Klatt to come and do the post-scrimmage thing, because then I think maybe you'd get actual responses to questions.
I think you'd have a better crack at it. Get Josh Pate or Pat McAfee to ask the questions, and you might get an answer.
He might actually share some. When is the Team Out West thing? What day does that come out? Tuesday?
I believe it's every Tuesday.
So it's the same day as Hard Knocks?
I believe so.
Damn, I got to double-dip that chip every week.
Earlier in the day. Thankfully, it's only like 30 minutes. So it's not a full hour. A little bit quicker. You can kind of watch it in pieces if you need to on your phone.
We'll get to that, the reactions from that. We're left to just read tea leaves and the best reporting we can possibly get from it. Yep. And so we'll dive into it. Let's start the second hour. Bo Nix.
Hey, buddy.
Got done with a nice little team run yesterday. Got back to a friend's house. They were making breakfast Mexican banh mi's. It was delightful. And turned on a little Colts-Broncos action just in time, actually, for Stidham to get his boring garbage ass out of the game.
Get this over with.
And Bo Nix inserted into the starting lineup, had himself a nice little debut.
He did.
For the Denver Broncos. 15-21, 125, and a tutty. And who cares about the final score? But Bo Nix, we'll get to the other rookie quarterbacks. Bo Nix making a nice little start for Denver against the Colts. Any takeaways from it? Because, man, I saw some takes from Denver.
I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, that's for sure. Other
Benjamin
than that,
Albright is just proclaiming that the overs of everything for Denver now is going to go up.
Love it.
Nick Kosmider, who we've had on here, covers him for The Athletic. Yes. He's like, this is why Peyton Nix is the franchise decision you needed. There's a lot of hot takes coming in, Bo Nix against the Indianapolis Colts.
Let's go, baby.
I've got a douse of cold water about it.
How dare you? Typical beef.
But I was in a duck house watching this, and I told my buddy, I said, I think Bo Nix is surprisingly better than I thought he was. Nice little start for him.
Look, it's just hilarious to have reactions to one preseason game. I love it, dude. It's so good having football back in our lives. I watched so much football this weekend. I was yelling at my TV, right takes, wrong takes. I'm addicted. I have a problem, and it was awesome this weekend. The only takeaway that I had, mainly from watching this, was laughing at the storyline and the random narrative that got created when their depth chart for the first preseason game got released. And and everybody freaked out because Bo Nix was third on the depth chart. They had Stidham listed at number one. They had Zach Wilson listed at number two. And they had Bo Nix listed at number three. And everybody, what does this mean? What does this mean? Is he bad? Is he a bust? Why can't he play? How is he third? That's the worst quarterback room in the NFL. Everybody lost their collective minds. When in reality, it was just a random thing for the first preseason game. Sean Payton's probably one of those dumb old school guys. You got to earn it. We're going to make you start third and play a couple of good games, then we'll move you up. Anybody with eyeballs watching that game this weekend had the same takeaway, and that was Bo Nix is the best Denver Broncos starting quarterback. It was backup defenses for basically all of them. Zach Wilson a little more so because he played mainly in the second half.
Zach Wilson, 10 of 13, 117, a 9.0 R average, and a 103.7 quarterback rating, which was better than Bo Nix. Are you sure?
It's because they had no MILFs on the sideline. All you got to do is put the MILFs on the sideline. He gets distracted easily, starts throwing picks left and right. We all know that Zach Wilson's not a good quarterback, and he's not going to be their starter. Bo Nix is the best quarterback in that room. He will be their starter. He's going to start the second preseason game. He had five drives. He led five scoring drives. He looked awesome, man. It was preseason football. He did exactly what you needed to do. He was efficient. He got rid of the ball quick. He ran it a couple of times. He was mobile. Didn't seem overwhelmed by the moment. He was in complete control. He was awesome.
I felt like Leo DiCaprio watching TV, leaning forward with a cigarette pointing at the screen like, hey, I know that. Because the Colts were just like the college quarterback smorgasbord. Ellinger, yes. Jason Bean of Kansas, our old friend Keaton Slovis. Outside of Flacco and Richardson, I'm like, man, they got all these great college quarterbacks that I watched play for way too many years.
That was another takeaway for people watching this game was that Richardson, granted, again, one preseason game in one series, and missed a couple of guys, missed a couple of targets.
He was 2 of 4 for 25 yards. I
saw somebody put together a thread of all of his throws. Let's react to Anthony Richardson's preseason debut.
You know, I will say, like, I think that's the only douse of cold water I'd say is, like, Zach Wilson also had a great day. And I've seen Zach Wilson as a pro. It doesn't mean that's Bo Nix. I'm just saying, like, preseason can generate some of this stuff. We'll talk about all these guys. What I saw from Bo Nix, it looked like Sean Payton, and I can't believe I'm saying this out. It looked like Sean Payton just called Will Stein and said, can I get your offensive playbook? I'm done with mine. Russ broke me. I don't know what to do anymore. He was, and you could certainly point to Drew Brees' years and say, well, this is kind of what he did with Brees. For sure. I think the best hope for Bo Nix is that this is exactly what the offense is going to be because it's what Bo Nix is as a quarterback. He didn't push the ball down the field a whole ton. He had a couple moments, but largely get the ball out quick, get to playmakers, let them try to set you up for second and shorts, third and shorts, second and manageables, and be efficient. 71.4 completion percentage. That was Oregon Bo Nix that we saw when he played against the Colts. And I think if you're a Broncos fan, that's all you're hoping for. You're like, just be this. And you hope the defense continues to evolve. You hope they get him more playmakers as time goes on, because I think that's going to be Denver's problem. I think their defense is going to be very ugh. And when the regular season starts and the actual first-team defenses are out there, I'm a little concerned about their playmaking situation with who's around him.
Yeah, Troy Franklin only had one target in the game, so for a young receiver that we're also keeping an eye on, no impact.
Yeah, and what was he drafted? Was he a fourth-rounder or a fifth-rounder?
I believe fourth-round pick.
So it's like, I'm not expecting a whole lot from Troy Franklin, but overall, like, that's the offense, I think, in the NFL, if he's to succeed and be a quote-unquote franchise guy, was exactly what you saw. But again, it's preseason.
Well, I think this is also why people were excited and they kind of projected that Sean Payton and Denver Broncos would go and get Bo Nix. Because when Drew Brees came back from San Diego to New Orleans, it wasn't like his deep ball threats that made him so good. It was the short and
precision
intermediate
passing. Yeah.
That's what Bo Nix is. Like, if you put Bo Nix in like an Andy Reid system, you're going to see, I would think, a closer version to like an Auburn Bo Nix, because they want you to take those risks. Like, that's what that offense is set up to do. This offense is set up to find the open guy, get the ball out of your hand quick, and if there's no one there, he has more athleticism than Brees did so that he can move around. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be great or anything like that, but it feels like the quarterback style and the play calling style fits into this perfect mold that's going to give him the best chance to be successful.
The other part, Dirk, that I thought was probably the most important for me, because I know the yardage, the efficiency, the percentage stuff. I think the most important thing was actually the rushing stats. 3 rushes for 17 yards at a 5.7 clip. Like,
one of them was a design. I think 2 of them were scrambles.
I think it's going to be vital for him as an NFL quarterback. He's not the biggest dude in the NFL at 6'2". But he's fast, he's mobile, he can move. Like, use your wheels, be smart, don't take hits. I think it's the most underrated part of him, if he is to be a franchise guy, is the mobility factor.
The funniest part about the conversation with Bo, for me, has always been, like, what's the goal as an offense in football?
Score points. Yeah.
I've always chuckled at this idea of pushing the ball downfield or not pushing the ball downfield. If you're efficient, you score points. Why does it matter if it comes in 30-yard chunks or 15-yard chunks or 9-yard chunks or 7-yard chunks? And he is incredibly efficient and smart with where he's going with the ball. And that's what made him special at Oregon and in Will Stein's offense. And I thought, that's exactly what you saw this weekend. Like, even his touchdown pass was kind of a quick RPO read where he pulled it out of the back's belly and just fired a laser and a little quick out route. It was just a smart, quick read.
Did you and I bet you we did. I bet you 100% we did. Because anybody that watched Bo Nix at Oregon for 2 years in Dillingham and Stein's offenses, I bet you all of us knew that was going to be how they scored. It was going to be a just an out. He was going to place it because he did it a million times. Just a quick 2-yard strike, perfectly right there. We all knew that that was how they were going to score, right?
Yes, and that's exactly how he threw his first touchdown pass. It was something quick and easy and simple, and it was the right read on his part. He's a really smart quarterback. He's understanding of, you know, defensive coverages,
100%.
Where to go with the football. Yeah. And so as long as you're, he had five drives in this game, they scored on all five drives. Mm-hmm. I think it was two touchdowns, three field goals, or three touchdowns, two field goals, whatever. That's an incredible level of efficiency. Whether you're throwing it 47 yards down the field or 7 yards down the field, he's getting the job done. Now, still, it's one preseason game. We'll see how the rest go. I'm excited to watch him in game two. He's going to get the start. I'm curious how long they let him go. Now that there's a little bit of film out there on what Peyton and him want to do, there's going to be slight adjustments. Again, it's preseason, so you're not going to see a full defense. But just watching how he develops is going to be a lot of fun. But this whole getting caught up on throwing the ball downfield and chucking it downfield, like, Josh Allen does this a lot. Josh Allen has one of the strongest arms in the NFL. Josh Allen will also lose his team 2 to 3 games a year because he's turnover happy and because he takes risks that he probably shouldn't take. And if he had a little bit more of this in him, mm-hmm. maybe it would get Buffalo over the top, but he has a propensity to turn the ball over from time to time. And so it's just funny how sometimes we criticize the underneath guys but not the over-the-top guys for having too many turnovers. And I thought Bo Nix looked like he fit perfectly in Sean Payton's offense one game into his preseason career.
The only reason I would say the yard average thing matters, just I think the only counter to what you're saying, because I largely do agree, like it's about efficiency, it's about scoring. Again, I think a big part for him in Denver is not just him. It's like, who do they have around him to help?
Mm-hmm.
What their running attack is going to be. You go look at the averages here. So ESPN is saying it was 6. And that's, again, it's one freaking preseason game. So I'm not going to overreact to it. We'll see what he is in the NFL because I think he's going to be the starter for them. You know, you're in the Zappy, Bajent, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, DeVito, Dalton, Dobbs kind of category with that. And when you look at the top, it's just, the guys do push the ball when they're efficient, elite throwers. They push it down the field. Again, it's one game. We'll see what they do in preseason. We'll see what he, because again, I think he's going to start for Denver this year.
Yes, he will.
I wouldn't start Stidham.
No, there's no reason to.
No.
Bo Nix looks ready to play in the NFL, and you got to figure out what you got with rookie quarterbacks.
Yes.
He's going to be
especially
their starting,
at that age.
Yes, he's going to be their starting quarterback.
Let's get to the other rookie quarterbacks, and then we'll pivot out. We'll get into college football with Ryan Callahan at Vols 24/7, and then we'll talk about some of the scrimmage takeaways from Oregon and Oregon State. All of that is ahead next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78 million pixel three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
And we ready for that. Two soldiers head of the pack. Matter of fact, who got the key? And where my army at? Rather attack and not react.
Back this is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
All right, you were saying the listeners alerted us that Billie Eilish has had is a Ralph Lauren hat or something?
I guess, yeah, that's what they're saying.
What's the P stand for?
Isn't Polo Ralph Lauren the same thing?
So I don't know.
I don't know either. I think it's
Polo Ralph Lauren.
Okay, I think it's the P for Polo.
I don't have a lot of Polo gear.
I don't either. I wear a lot of Polos, but none of them are Polos.
No, they're all Bandon or Adidas.
You're damn right they are. Adidas got good golf gear, man.
Bo Nix with a nice start to his rookie debut. We'll go to Tennessee, by the way, for the ticker. Tennessee is number 20 on the dirty poll. Oregon State had scrimmages at their fall camp, their first scrimmage. They usually do two of those. We'll give you the best of the tea leaf reading because you only get so much information from the actual coaches. We were talking about, though, Bo Nix having a great start.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams, nice little start for him, too, against Buffalo.
He looked awesome, dude.
They didn't score a tutty.
No.
But he did push the ball down the field, had a really impressive scramble where he just on the move threw it 30 yards down the field, perfectly placed on the sideline. I went, there's Caleb Williams.
I think I've seen that highlight 7,000 times now. There he is, number one pick, Caleb Williams.
Every Pac-12 fan had, like, PTSD, like, oh, don't do it to me again, please. But I saw it, and I was like, man, this is – you never want to react, but when you see the good glimpses of the guys – I thought you said really well earlier, like when they don't perform well, you freak out.
Red flags. If you can't play in the preseason, it's a red flag.
There is a little bit to that. And Caleb had a nice start to his Bears debut against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills' offense was a little stinky.
Which is why they're playing the starters, which I love. They gave them, I think, two series or one series. It wasn't a lot, but Keon Coleman only had one catch. It's one of the things that I like about teams that are realizing that let's work out some kinks. This is the point of preseason. To get out of this world of fear about somebody could get hurt or something bad could happen at every practice. You're never going to practice anymore. You're not going to run anymore.
Well, the Niners aren't. They got so many injuries, they canceled their Saints practice.
Shut it down! I'm appreciative of the Bills for trying, and they're going to get there. Josh Allen will be fine. They're going to be okay this year. But they didn't look great this weekend. The Caleb drive that stood out, I believe it started like inside their own 5-yard line. And so he's kind of pinned back. They had to pick up an early first down that got aided by a flag. That was the drive I believe they ended up kicking a field goal on. And he had a couple of plays on that drive that just – if you're a Bears fan, man, you got a chub. You're feeling great. Like, that's a fan base that has been desperate. They want a franchise quarterback. They've never had a franchise quarterback, never had a guy throw for 4,000 yards, and I don't know if Caleb Williams is going to do that this year. You're just looking for hope, man. You're just looking for something to be optimistic about. And yes, there's all this, you know, built-up excitement about Caleb because he's a number one overall pick and a Heisman Trophy winner. There's something different, I think, seeing it for the first time in your uniform, him making plays, and it's not a thought of what could he be. It's this is what he is on the field, and he looked the part. You know, again, with all of these guys, you can have the same stupid caveat. It's preseason; none of it really matters. They all looked really good, and he made a couple of throws that made you go, "Yep, that's why Caleb Williams was a number one overall pick." How will he look all year? Nobody has any clue, but he answered the first test.
Daniels had that too. He threw three passes, and one of them he audibled out and went deep to Brown.
Hit a fade down the sideline. He completed like two passes. That was one of them. That was perfect. It was a perfect throw.
And then he ran it in for a touchdown. I went, oh, he looks kind of good. Washington's going to be sneaky.
These are the things that, you know, people have scoffed at the idea of watching preseason football. I love it because of this.
Like, I just love seeing the glimpse.
I was eager to see all of these guys. J.J. McCarthy play in Minnesota. Penix played on Friday night in Miami. It wasn't on TV, but they re-aired it all weekend, and I saw the highlights of it. Like, I was eager to watch all of these guys play, and they all had something or moments or opportunities in that game that I think left their fan bases incredibly encouraged.
I think that's the thing, right? Like, as we wake up today, how many fan bases, and it's one preseason game, but, like, they've really...
I think every single one of them is doing it, to be honest with you.
Not New England.
Not New England.
So Lucy Burge, my co-host on Sunday evenings, I said, hey, seriously though, how awkward was the next day media cycle when Milton had a good day and they didn't play May? And she goes,
Joe Milton.
People are already connecting the dots that he might be Tom Brady. And I'm like, yeah, that kind of tracks. He got to play the most. He had the best showing.
Yeah.
of the two. But like even Minnesota, where I'm not very high on JJ McCarthy, threw an early pick.
He did.
But then he settled in. He threw a nice long touchdown pass. I think he threw for 188 yards, two tutties.
He can throw the football. Do you know that? He can throw the football. That?
Blake Corum, not the only thing he had.
I was surprised he didn't just hand it off for 37 straight times in the first half. They actually let him throw the football.
What would the odds be, too? Like, it'd be funny to bet this. The odds that there's, like, three or four franchise quarterbacks out of the class. Usually it's like you're lucky if there's one.
I mean, I want to say, what class was the Herbert class?
Well, you got Tua and that one, Burrow, Herbert.
And Hurts, I believe, was in that class too, was he not?
So all four of those guys have been paid.
I believe that was the 2020 draft.
They've all gotten their contracts.
So I think that's the one that you look at and say, if you're trying to be optimistic, if we got our guy, that's the one. So yeah, you have Burrow go number one overall, second contract.
Got paid.
Tua number five overall, next contract. Herbert number six overall, next contract.
Yeah.
And then I believe Hurts was
You're right. I think Hurts was
Jordan Love was also in that draft at number 26.
Buddy, you want to talk about optimism.
You're hopeful that's
the
what you got.
Packers,
here.
Jordan Love,
and Jalen Hurts.
So five guys?
That was your first five quarterbacks taken in that draft.
And all they've all gotten paid.
All of them have received a next contract.
Paid.
I'm trying to scroll through and see if there's another random guy.
What year
guy.
Is this?
This is the 2020 NFL
2020
draft. I'm just going to Google quarterbacks taken in the
2020. Oh, that was Goodell in a wood basement, wasn't it?
Yeah, remember all these guys? It was during COVID.
He gets hammered on the third day. he's like drunk. Clearly drunk.
Sitting on his couch. You got Eason and Jake Fromm. Some of the other guys aren't great. I'm trying to see if there's anybody. Jake Luton in that draft as well. Still in the NFL.
Go Panthers.
No,
five guys is an incredible amount.
And I think we would all view them too. I mean, we have different opinions on where they rank and all that. But there's no doubt that all of them are franchise level quarterbacks. And doesn't happen very often. You get five. And maybe this year is the outlier where you get five again.
I'll say this and then we'll go to Ryan Callahan. I didn't realize that I was such a Stetson Bennett hater until yesterday.
Imagine watching him dog walk your college football team 49-3 and look like Patrick Mahomes. That was fun.
Well, I think what bothered me is, and it's not his fault, but like I just was kind of, I found out I was really bothered by the amount of credit he was given for that team.
It's ludicrous.
He's an all-time great. What? Are they going to be able to replace Stetson Bennett? God, how many quarterbacks did you put on that team and they still win the national championship?
37, probably, if not more than that. I would go out on a limb and
I have no reason to hate Stetson Bennett. Yeah. Man, every pick he threw, I laughed. It was like, yes!
It's not even a hatred for me. It's more of just of a pure jealousy. Like, that guy's going to get booted out of the NFL in 2 years because he's not. Remember, he didn't even play last year. He did, like, a mental health break. He didn't even show up. He took the year off. Showed up this year. He throws four picks. He's going to get booted out of the NFL. He's going to go live in Georgia like a king for the rest of his life.
And
never have to do anything.
The Niners are sitting in some really uncomfortable Ayuk stuff. Their camp has not gone well. They're dealing with injuries. Watching Trey Lance just suck was so good. I feel so bad saying that, but they made the right choice.
They absolutely. That was a debate we were having a year ago today. Who should the 49ers starting quarterback
people
be?
People still, I mean, up until yesterday, people were like, I don't know, man. Maybe Jerry Johnson.
I think if you're a Cowboy fan, you're saying, why the hell we give up a fourth-round pick for this guy, man? What are we doing?
Let's go to Tennessee. We'll get into some Oregon State scrimmage stuff. Let's go to Tennessee. They're number 20 on the dirty pole. Ryan Callahan of Vols 24-7 joins us with the ticker next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Monday, brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers. Independently brewed since 1996, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. The Dirty Pole rolls on as we get to number 20 in our preseason college football preview, and we go to Tennessee down in Knoxville. Joining us now, Ryan Callahan, at Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter. Part of the GoVols 247 site. Ryan, good morning to you, man. I got Tennessee number 20 in my preseason poll. Not quite sure what to do with them. Heupel has done a great job there, but a new starting quarterback. So I'm just going to start with disrespectful, fair. How do we feel about number 20 being a preseason ranking for the Vols?
Not disrespectful. I would personally have them a little bit higher, but I mean they're one of those teams that most people see as being on the sort of the fringe, but on the outside of that projected 12-team playoff going into the season. The reasons to be bullish on them, there are multiple, but one of them that I think is a really big one is they've got a really manageable schedule this year by SEC standards. They've got Georgia and Alabama on the schedule. Not many SEC teams have that. They've had that for years. But outside of that, you know, a trip to Oklahoma is really the only other game you look at on their schedule where they might go in as an underdog. And so they're really the season comes down to those three games. In a lot of people's minds, it doesn't mean they couldn't trip up somewhere else along the way, but they should be favored in the other nine games. And that to me makes them a fringe playoff team. So where they were in the coaches poll 15, that's probably closer to where I would have them. But 20 is not disrespectful because there are uncertain things about this team too, some questions they have to answer.
Well, I'll be fully honest with you, Ryan, like kind of keeping tabs, maybe not following them as closely as I did the year when Hendon Hooker was there. It felt like Tennessee taking a slight step back offensively from what they were the year prior. I'm curious, following it last year, how much people wanted maybe Nico to just be inserted right away, how they felt about Milton and the anticipation of Nico, the development of him, how they've handled that thus far.
Yeah, that was a discussion that came up at times. You know, I think it sort of died down at a certain point because I think fans realized that the Josh Heupel staff was pretty committed to Joe Milton and that they didn't waste their time on it very much. But I think if you'd asked a lot of fans around midseason if they would have liked to make a quarterback change, a lot of them would have said yes. It's just that Joe Milton was their guy, and it was that way from the start, and they seemed to have a pretty clear plan. And part of that might have been giving Nico time to develop too. You know, I think the reality was he probably wasn't ready last year. And I think that year sitting back and watching did him some good, and he's still going to have some things to learn this year as he learns on the job. But he's a talented guy. Obviously, expectations are going to be unfairly high for him just because of everything he's represented to this program the past couple of years already. But no doubt there were some people that think Tennessee's offense, and they took a step back. No way around that, as you said last year. I think a lot of people would attribute that to Joe Milton, though, frankly, just because he didn't process things quite as quickly, wasn't quite the decision maker that you need in this offense and in any offense, but especially in this offense that works so much on tempo, getting the ball out quickly. He didn't always give Tennessee what they needed, and their offense took a step back, at least in part because of that.
Yeah. I mean, on that note, we're talking about Ryan Callahan, who covers Tennessee, the number 20 in the preseason dirty poll. I'm curious what people are saying about Nico so far in fall camp. I mean, we got a chance to see him in the Citrus Bowl last year against Iowa, which is one of those kind of underrated things about modern college football is I love when some of these guys opt out so you can see the next wave of guys. It almost becomes kind of like a scrimmage or an early spring game for the next year. He looked really solid in that game. Expectations are going to be through the roof. That's hard to live up to. What are people saying about him so far in his first fall camp ready to take the reins?
Yeah, I think the belief or throughout the program is that he's ready for this, that he will be fine, and they have high expectations for what he's going to do this year. You know, I think the way most people would tell you is that they'd be surprised if he's not one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC this year. Now, you know, that being said, they've had one scrimmage so far. That was Friday night. And the defensive line, which is one of the other strengths of Tennessee's team going into the season, they've got a lot of veterans up front on defense, and they kind of wreaked havoc on Tennessee's offensive line, which had a couple guys out, and that made things tough for Nico, and he threw at least one interception in the scrimmage. So he's going to have some bumps in the road. You know, that bowl game against Iowa, like you said, love seeing that him get a chance to play. But it showed, you know, that he didn't play with the best group of receivers in that game, but they weren't explosive, and that was the knock on last year's offense. They weren't as likely to produce big plays last season. How much of that was on the receivers? How much of that was on the quarterback? You know, I think they think Nico can help with that, but they've got to get better receiver play too. And he only threw for about 150 yards in that bowl game. That's kind of the thing that stands out. Ran for a few touchdowns, and that was big. His running ability gives you a chance to loosen up the opposing defenses when things aren't going well, but he's got to have help at receiver too. But yeah, they think he's going to have a good year. It's just a matter of how many of those early bumps along in the road is he going to encounter as he continues to learn in the SEC and faces some tough environments on the road.
I think a lot of people watching Tennessee this year, Ryan, are going to learn about the hogs in the middle on the defense, on the line. You guys got a few 300-pounders over there, but the one that's getting the most attention on the D-line is James Pierce Jr., who's definitely going to be a top, I don't know, 20, 15 pick, depending on where you slot him on the NFL draft. I'm very curious, how excited should we be to see James Pierce Jr., who's, you know, slated by many as maybe the best defensive player in college football? I'll have to wait and see on that one, but man, a lot of anticipation for this season for him.
Yeah, he had a huge year last year, and the impressive thing is, you know, he did it as part of a rotation. He came off the bench for most of the year. Crazy to look think back in hindsight and realize that was the case. He had 10 sacks, tied for the SEC lead. You know, I talking with people who've been around the program a long time and just seeing him too, it's been a long, long time. And Tennessee's had some good defensive linemen over the past 20, 25 years. I'm not sure they've had anybody this good off the edge since probably the Peyton Manning era or longer. I mean, they had Derek Barnett a few years ago that was a first-round pick, but he's got such length, such a quick first step. He's everything NFL teams are looking for. There's a reason you've seen. I don't think he ends up the number one overall pick. They'll talk themselves into some quarterback being number one, I'm sure. But but there's a reason you're seeing those number one overall projections because, as you said, a lot of people think he might have been the top defensive player off the board if he'd gone out this year because he's just that quick, that switchy. It's hard to find that combination of size and length. And then the bowl game, he drops into coverage, picks off a pass and takes it back 53 yards for a touchdown. It's just hard to find his skill set, and he's in line for a big year, no doubt, if he stays healthy and lives up to the expectations.
All right, last one for you, Ryan. You mentioned maybe having him a little bit higher than 20, one of those kind of fringe playoff teams, but needing to answer some questions at quarterback, maybe wide receiver. Manageable schedule, as you highlight. What do you think? What's the win-loss record, and is this a college football playoff team this year?
You know, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I was starting to lean toward yes. You know, now they've got some depth questions that have popped up here along the way. As you expect for any team, no team's got a perfect roster, but they're a little thin at running back, a little thin, you know, in the offensive line, as a lot of teams are. They've got some depth. It's just, is that depth ready? And then are they deep enough in the secondary where they've already lost a projected starter to a season-ending injury at the star position? So I still would hesitate but lean toward them finding a way to get a 10th win. I think they can win that game at Oklahoma in September. They still might lose to both Alabama and Georgia, but I think because the schedule is so manageable, I might project that they sneak into the playoff as of right now. We'll see. It's going to depend on Nico, like we said. How good is he? Is he just a top five good in the quarterback in the SEC good, or is he a fringe Heisman contender good? That may go a long way toward answering that question, but I'll say right now they win 10 games and they find a way to get in.
Well, hell, SEC team 9-3 is probably good enough for that 12 seed, man.
I mean, so you might be able to let
that last one slip. Before we let you go, Ryan, go ahead.
I was going to say maybe. I think there are four or five SEC teams, though, that think they're going to get to 10 wins. Yeah. We'll see if it works out that way. But Ole Miss, right. LSU, there's a bunch of SEC teams that have a shot.
Yeah, Missouri probably feeling the same way, too. Can you give me Nico's last name pronunciation before we let you go?
Man, that's everybody in Tennessee is practicing it, and they already just decided to call him Nico. But it's Iamaleava is the closest I can get without the original dialect. I can't completely replicate it the way he says it, but it's that's the best way in my southern accent that I can do it.
Or as they say in Tennessee, Nico.
Nico. Yeah, you know what? We're gonna go ahead and stick with Nico too. That sounds a little more comfortable. Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Preview in Tennessee. GoVols247.com. Thanks for the time out here in Portland, man. We really appreciate it. Great stuff.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
There you go, Ryan Callahan with a preview of Tennessee. We're gonna stick with Nico.
Oh, yeah, I'm not. I screw names up all the time.
I'm not doing that one. I'm not touching that one. That's a little too complicated.
That's a cool first name, too. It's just Nico. Called Nico. They it's have great. Maybe the best receiver tandem name in college football, too. Can you beat Squirrel White and Brew McCoy?
Brew McCoy has transferred I don't know how many times.
He's still around. He's a Tennessee
volunteer.
Wasn't
he the Texas-USC guy?
I think he's the Texas-USC, okay. Texas, now he's Tennessee.
Is Dante Thornton still there?
That's a good question, actually.
Because I believe he is the only starter that in the Dan Lanning era that is technically a starter. I believe he's the only guy that has ever transferred. And he went from Oregon to Tennessee. And I think he's still there.
Squirrel White, Brew McCoy. Still pretty there? Good combination name-wise.
Great name combination. Big expectations,
they're an interesting team.
What are you going to get out of a redshirt freshman quarterback? Are you going to get is he coming in Caleb Williams right away? Is he coming in and struggling a little bit? Like, that will dictate their entire season. Their defensive line dominant. The schedule's manageable. Don't really play anybody in non-conference. I think their hardest non-conference game is NC State, who's a good team, but, you know, it's not an unbeatable opponent.
Yeah.
They will go as far as Nico can take them this year. And excited to see what Tennessee can do. Let's stick in college football. Do we have a new leader in the clubhouse for the Oregon State starting quarterback out of their spring scrimmage this week? And also Dan Lanning, not very talkative. We'll get to Deion Sanders coming up top of the hour. Sticking in college football next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time is brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch lunchtime in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll start with a temper tantrum that happened on Friday. I believe this happened on Friday.
Yeah, this didn't go over very well, I thought.
No, bit of a temper tantrum. So we'll get to that. I have some fun with audio for you. Also, a question about an NBA player in the final hour. Lots to get to. Let's stick in the world of college football. Both your school and my school had their first scrimmage of fall camp this weekend.
Yes, they did.
Now, I think there is a takeaway from your scrimmage.
Okay.
I don't know if there's anything from mine, and I'm curious to ask you.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a takeaway from my Oregon Ducks' first fall camp scrimmage?
Yeah, I watched Lanning's post-practice scrum.
Minute and 42 seconds of it?
2 minutes, 47 seconds.
2:47?
I don't think I've ever seen a coach answer questions that probably deserved more than like one-word responses faster than Dan Lanning
He's in a mid-season form, man. After practice, you're not going to get a lot.
Yeah, you know, there was a thing about Don Staley's side note that I read that I thought was great. And look, Dan's not the only one here. Bray went 5 minutes. I'm not going to pretend this is one school. All these college coaches up. There's a good story on Don Staley, who's winning natties.
Mm-hmm.
And she's grown in huge popularity. And there's a good story about how she, like, goes out of her way all the time to accommodate the local media. Because, and look, it's different. It's football versus women's hoops. I get it. But, like, she just always used it as, like, this is always good for us to have constant conversation.
Yes, publicity.
Get the attention. So there's sometimes with coaches, and I kind of thought, but with both coaches this weekend, like, come on, man. Like, one word responses, just moving on.
I know.
You're not going to give away any secrets here.
Football guys post-scrimmage, they can't wait to get in there and break down the film.
Yeah, it feels like they were a little sloppy offensively. If I'm to try to read tea leaves and what he was saying, it seems like they were sloppier than he liked. The procedural penalties didn't seem like maybe they were operating at a function that he likes to see or wants to see by the start. Defensively, if I was to garner a guess, I would bet to tell you that the defense, and this is no shocking development in camp, is ahead of the offense. That was kind of my tea leaf takeaway from Dan Lanning's post-scrum. I know he said both sides had moments, but he seemed a little more sloppy, pace, tempo, rhythm, all that stuff. Like, he threw those keywords out. If I was to guess, it would be that the scrimmage was the defense having a little more success.
Had some issues with the quarterback center exchange from time to time. New center, new quarterback.
Does that concern you at all? Because there's a lot of Poncho, no big deal, he's filling in.
It's all concerning, man. Okay. It's all going to make you internally freak out. You're going to get a bad snap in a big moment of a game. Alabama lost a playoff game last year because they couldn't hike a football. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's
I think that's definitely rattling around in the back of your mind. You never take too much from a first scrimmage, but I do agree with the overall assessment that the defense probably ahead of where the offense is. I just think it's easier to gel. It's easier to figure out the playbook. And you got a lot of key guys back and a lot of talented veterans that it's probably going to take the offense a little bit longer to get fully up to speed to where the defense is. But you get that after the first scrimmage.
Now, what is your Beaver quarterback thing?
I think we know who the starting quarterback's going to be.
Oh.
I do. I think we know.
Really? Because I watched this and I was trying to determine how I felt he was talking about the position.
So he's not. This wasn't even necessarily something from Bray, because Bray didn't give you hardly anything. I mean, it's just coach. You're getting coach speak from all these guys, right? You're not getting a lot. But I did watch both their press conferences, and he's not going to announce a starter anytime soon. He's going to drag this thing out, and you probably won't find out until like 48 hours before Idaho, the mighty Bengals of Idaho State are
or whoever just runs out there first. Sure. Some coaches roll out.
Oh, look at that. It's that guy. Hey, look at that. We know the start. No, but from the reporting, I obviously was not there this weekend. The reporting that I saw said that Javonte McCoy took all the first team reps, mm-hmm. and he led multiple drives with the first team. Now, Go Branson had mostly second team, but a couple of drives with a mishmash of first and second team, and then in a distant third was Jabari Johnson running the third team.
Yeah.
I just, again, one scrimmage, so let's not draw too many conclusions, but I think that's a pretty telling thing that this is where you feel like you're at.
Yep.
He's the guy that I feel like should be your starter. Mm-hmm. I felt like they brought him in to be the starter. I feel like he fits what Ryan Gunderson wants to do offensively, the best out of the collection that they have. And so if they came out and had three different series as a first-team offense and each of the quarterbacks got one of the series, I think then I would have believed what Trent Bray was saying. But if you're telling me this guy's basically running with the ones in your first scrimmage, and I think he led a couple of scoring drives in the scrimmage as well, to me, that's the leader in the clubhouse and your likely starting quarterback.
Let's see what scrimmage two is. Like, what if Go Branson plays most of the first team snaps?
Throw cold water on my theory.
No, but you might be right. I mean, he did highlight Johnson and McCoy a little bit in his post-practice scrum. Mm-hmm. Didn't really talk a whole lot about Go Branson. My takeaway, again, from doing tea leaf reading, from listening to him, No shocking development. Feel like the defense a little ahead of the offense here. This is what camps do largely all over the country. It's not an Oregon State thing. I'm kind of wondering if they're a little concerned about what their offense is right now. They asked him about defense, and he basically was like, I really only had to pay attention to the offense, and that's a new thing for me.
Yeah.
So he had to go back and watch tape to see how he felt defensively. I watched Jam Griffin and Jaden Robinson were both kind of dual interviews. That was only 2 minutes. And basically, Jaden said a lot of the young guys on defense are still kind of finding their footing, finding their way.
Yeah.
The run game, you know, no shocking development. Gunderson comes from a Chip Kelly-esque, you know, Riley system.
Mm-hmm.
Run game's going to be vital for them. The run game's most important.
And McCoy can add to that as well.
A little disappointed to hear that the passing game seems like it's struggling just because you brought in, you know, Clemens, and they're excited, I think, about the room, but it's a little disappointing to hear, at least thus far, that it's not clicking all the way. Could be McCoy. I also think we may see all three of these dudes.
Wouldn't be surprised by that.
And I think that's kind of the place where I'm like, yeah, we'll see who the starter is. It could be McCoy. It could be Gulbranson. Also won't be shocked if we see Johnson at some point. Barring injury, we probably mainly see just the one, because I can't imagine wanting to play both guys. It's just depending on how they play against, you know, not just Oregon and Purdue, but how do you do against some of the better Mountain West teams? If McCoy's struggling in San Diego State early in the season, they're probably not going to hesitate, and they're going to go to Gulbranson. But then if he struggles, do you go back to McCoy? And, you know, Gundy had said this in one of the post-practice scrums of he's not afraid to do the two-quarterback thing. And, you know, I think he's telling the truth there. That's also terrifying to me, because what's the old adage?
Yeah, you got two, you don't got one.
You don't got one. And so it's like, I'd love to see, whether it's McCoy or Gulbranson and McCoy getting most of the starts, I'd like him to see committed to one and then just kind of see how that evolves and grows through the season.
Be interesting to watch, man. I think he got a starting quarterback. I think it's McCoy. It's my hot take from your first fall camp scrimmage.
Now, I'm just asking you now, if they do the second scrimmage and it's Gulbranson that gets like 85% of the snaps.
Nah, they just want to be nice to him. He's back for another year. He's putting off, where's he going, med school? Where's he going next?
Yeah. He's
going
to be a doctor.
Yeah, he's putting off med school.
Good to know.
Let's give him a couple of reps.
I want the take to sit there and marinate a little
bit. Throw him a bone here.
Because I also heard the McCoy stuff, the reporting, and I went, well, there goes my Gulbranson take from 2 weeks ago. That's aged poorly.
So we're trying to get anything we can from fall camp scrimmages, and there's some stuff from Oregon and Oregon State who had their first scrimmages from the weekend. Let's stick in college football to start the final hour. You know, Johnny Ludwig likes to make fun of me for saying loaded final hour, but the final hour is always loaded. We always have a loaded final hour.
I think he looks forward to us saying
I think he does too. I think he's excited for the loaded final hour, and we're going to start with a temper tantrum in Boulder, Colorado. Do you believe now? It's back in the news. We'll start there next on The Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.